Well, give me time to get up here. We're not any younger than we used to be. Hallelujah. I forgot my belt, so I put my braces on. I hope they look okay. I usually forget something as long as it's not my underclothes. And we laugh about things when we travel the way we travel. So tonight I want to bring you a message. I think it's more of a teaching, but it's going to, I hope, liberate some ladies. And if you have some hang-ups about being a girl, I want to get you over it. And if you're not, well, you're okay, all right? If you're already freed, you're all right. But I'd like you to turn with me in the book of Galatians, and let's look and see what Galatians has to say. Judy said that we've been doing a little traveling, and she's found homes around the nations, and she really has. And there are some people that you're in their home, and it almost feels like your home. That's always a good feeling, and you don't feel like you're intruding when you go into their home. We have several like that. But one of the things about traveling is you have to be a person that likes food, because you're going to eat some strange things in other nations. And so you have to either like food or have some way of disguising that you don't like it. Amen? You know, when we're in Asia, all of the Asian churches say, you know, Adam and Eve, not Chinese. And you say, how do you know they weren't Chinese? They say, if they'd been Chinese, they'd have ate the serpent, left the apple alone. And they all tell you the same story. That's every church tells you that joke. And so first time we went to Asia, we met up with Bishop and Mom Hammond in Malaysia. And he was doing the Pacific Rim nations. And first night there, we went out to dinner after the meetings. And they had this big, long table where we were all sitting. And they brought this beautiful food out. And we started eating. And Judy bit into something that still moved. And when she bit into it, it wiggled. And she went like that. And it went across the table and hit Mom Hammond right in the chest. And Mom looked down and she said, you didn't like that bite? And so you have to learn how to disguise some things when you're eating. One of their favorite things is fish eyes. And that is a delicacy. You sit down to eat with Asians and they serve the big fish to you first to eat the fish eyes, and then that's their delicacy, and then they devour the fish. So I did the first time. First time I was with them, I ate, took my little spoon and cupped out my eye and ate it. And they were all happy, and they devoured the fish. Next time they passed it to me, I said, no, brothers, I want to honor you first. You eat it. So we went back to the hotel room, and I told Judy, I've only got eyes for you, you know. And we made the most out of that adventure, but it's always interesting in other countries. We were in Africa coming down the road, and there was 10 of us in this van, and Pastor leaned over to me and said, are you hungry? And I said, I'm getting there. We've been in the van a long time. And there was pastor driving, Judy and I in the middle, and the associate pastor on the outside. So there's four of us in the front, and guys were bunked up in the back. They were crowded in there. And he said, well, we'll stop up here and get something to eat. And I said, okay, great. So I saw it slowing down, and we're pulling up to this big tree. And hanging in this tree are rats. And they've gutted them, stuck sticks in them, so they're flayed open. And he said they'll cook it for us, lay it on a hibachi grill, cook it for us. And he said, then you just turn it upside down, put the fur in your hand, and eat the meat out of it. And I said, okay. I didn't twitch or nothing. And he and the associate all at once, the other guys in the back were looking, and they were starting to squirm a little bit, and finally they started laughing. They say, we don't eat it either. And so they drove on, hallelujah, and we finally stopped and got some good food. But they were putting it to us, and I told the fellows, whatever they do, just act like you eat it all the time, hallelujah. So anyway, traveling's fun, and we enjoy it. We have a full schedule the rest of the year. We're in Trinidad in August. You're going to have to help me. We're in August, September, November. We're in Bahamas, and December in Puerto Rico, Mexico. That's it. We got the next few months lined up with traveling trips. So you all think about us when we're down there in the Caribbean, dancing and celebrating. You know, you got to get, when I'm old, I teach people, you got to learn the old man shuffle, you know, just, but we have fun, amen? All right, let's go to the book of Galatians, and let's go to the third chapter, the 26th verse. It says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. How many of you know you have to move in faith? Faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you that were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen? It says here, sons through faith. Let me say this. When you are born again and you start to have faith in Christ, it is the most important thing you can do in your Christian faith. It's not by laws. We're going to look at this in a minute. It's by faith in Jesus. Faith in Christ. You've put on Christ. He takes you back to, this scripture will take you back to Romans. When you're baptized into his death, you've put on Christ. When you come up out of it, you come up in a new creation. So you put on Christ, amen? You actually put it on. You live a new life. Your old ways are buried. Now, it doesn't make any difference if you're male or female, and we'll get to this in a minute. It doesn't make any difference if you're male or female. When you're buried with him, raised in newness of life, you have put on Christ. It doesn't make any difference, male, female, Jew, Greek, doesn't make a difference. You are in Christ. Amen? We're going to look at this. Therefore, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, we have a granddaughter that when she was little, Sydney always was coming up with funny sayings. She was with us in Detroit, Michigan. We were going to a church and to minister that night, and her mom went with us, and they were going to stay in the hotel and swim and have fun. Sid was about 4 years old at that time. And I said, Sid, you need to pray for us. We're going to be in a meeting tonight ministering to people. She goes, got a hold of my cheeks. She says, go get them, chubby church boy. And that was her prayer and answer for me that night. So that's just the way she operated. So she come to us one time and she said, Grandpa, I'm really confused. She said, In the Bible, to be in relationship with God, you had to be circumcised. And I don't have one of those things. Now, she's 5 years old. She says, I don't have one of those things. And how do you keep from busting out laughing when a child's talking to you? And I said, Sid, let me take you to a scripture in Colossians. And I said, I'm going to read something to you. And in Colossians 2, I think it's 22, it says, you are circumcised in your heart when you're buried with him in baptism. I said, Sydney, it doesn't make any difference if you have one of those things. It's when you're baptized, you're circumcised in the heart, and you have the same right as any male. Wow. She got baptized. She's lived her little life the best she knows how by faith. Always wanted a Volkswagen convertible. Always. We're driving down the street here in St. Joe, wherever we're at, driving down the street, and I said, Pastor Ron, stop. Here's a set of red Volkswagen with a cream-colored top. And we got the telephone number, called my son-in-law. He drove up with a trailer, picked it up. She drove it all through high school, 4 years of college, into work. And she finally said, I think it's time I trade it off. And so she sent it back to her dad, and he's selling it. She drove that thing forever. And I said, Sydney, the Bible says he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I said, I know you've always desired to have one of those. But I said, you didn't get it out of balance. You kept it in balance. And I said, God give you the desire of your heart. Amen. She said, he did? And I said, yeah. It's because you're buried with him. You're circumcised with him. You live in faith with him. And so she's walked that out. You put on Christ, male and female. You put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, as we get into this, I want you to look with me in the book of Ephesians. I want you to look at something. In Ephesians 2 and 15. And Judy and I was talking about this scripture the other night. It says in verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Wow. That is the law of commandments and ordinances. Do you mean that the law, the commandments, and the ordinances was an enemy to God, to Jesus Christ? Have to think about it. It says it was an enmity. That is the law of commandments and contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that it might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, hereby putting to death the enmity. Wow. You mean if you put on Christ by faith, live by faith, the commandments are not held against you because you live by faith in Jesus Christ. And then he had the audacity to say, I give you a new commandment. What's that? You know what it is? That you love God, but you love your neighbor like yourself. He said, I give you a new commandment. So if he had enmity to the law and the commandments, you have to study this out, and the ordinances was an enemy to him when he died on the cross, resurrected. If you have faith in him, live in him, those laws will not stand against you. Now, you're going to have to think about this. This is good. You're going to have to think on it. These laws will not stand against you. Only thing that will stand against you is if you don't know Jesus Christ and if you don't have faith in him and put him on, that's the only thing that will stand against you. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Amen? Well, women, there's nothing holding you back. There is no law standing against a lady that cannot be a gospel minister. There's no law against a lady doing anything a man can do in society, in the world, in the church. Now, when we first started out, we had men actually get up and walk away from Judy when she got ready to minister, turn their back and walk out, set outside until she was done to come back in. And we were in England in an African church in London, and we went in and we were holding a conference there, and there were six of us plus the dance team. Walked in, and the pastor was excited, and everybody's preaching, doing good. Judy got up to minister, and I noticed the pastor got up, left the auditorium, and I thought, well, maybe he had to go to the restroom or, you know, something. So I waited for 15 minutes, got up, and went to the loo, the restroom also. On the way there, he was sitting in the office with his feet up on his desk, cleaning his fingernails. I thought, you big hypocrite. And went back in, sat down, and had a wonderful conference there. Had a great time. The guys were all excited. They said, we're going to plan this next year, make a bigger venue, and da-da-da-da-da. And I said, that's great, but I won't be back here. You will not have it here. And they said, why? Why? And I said, well, when that pastor got up, dishonored my wife, he dishonored me just as much as he dishonored my wife. And I said, I will not come back here unless you straighten him out. And so we were nice about it. I said it just about like that. And I said, I love you guys, but he is a problem. So they called us about 6-7 months later. They have a conference plan. We're going to have it in the same place. And I said, okay, we'll come back. We walked in. The pastor met my wife at the door, took her briefcase, kissed her hand, and took her down front, set her down. He said, is there anything I can get for you, anything I can do for you? And he just about fell all over himself trying to be nice to her. I thought, these bros really straightened him out. Hallelujah. He was nice the whole time. And so we had a great conference there. How many of you ever heard of Mary Booty? Ever heard of Mary Booty? Well, let me tell you. In 1907, she laid hands on Smith Wigglesworth and gave him a dose of the Holy Ghost. He got baptized in the Holy Ghost under her hands. And she released Smithy to do miracles. Wow. Oh, lady. How about Ivy Campbell? You ever heard of Ivy? Ivy was born and ministered in 1906. She went to the Azusa Street, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and brought it back to Ohio, where it became the first Pentecostal movement in Ohio. Ivy. How about George and Carrie Judd? Ever heard of them? Husband and wife team. 1907. They built a home of peace, and they brought in freight from all over the United States, and they shipped it to missionaries around the world, and they set up the first society that ministered through the CMA. And Carrie actually organized Christian Missionary Alliance so they would have an outreach. A lady. How about Mossy Mary Gill? Born in 1850, died in 1930. She started a home of mercy for wayward girls, drunks, prostitutes, and any other social outcast. She took them in, build a refugee center for them. Mossy Mary Gill. How about Myrtle Ma Beal? How many know Ma Beal? Pastor of Bethesda Missionary Temple, built a 3,000-seat auditorium, promoted the first Latter Rain movement in United States in worship. What we did tonight was introduced by her in the United States, where there was actually singing, and you actually worshiped the Lord and danced and ministered. I was in Detroit. We were ministering in a church, Bob and Linda King's church. We went up there to ordain a young lady in the ministry. We ordained her, ministered to her, prophesied to her, and she prophesied to me, and she didn't know what was going on, but I had a tumor in the bone of my leg right here, and it was growing. Each time I went to the doctor, it was so many centimeters bigger. And he said, if it gets bigger, we're going to have to do surgery, take it out. And it's a long story. So we ministered to this young lady, and she started to prophesy. And she said, I'm going to heal your leg. And the more you dance, the more I'll heal it. The more you dance, the more I'll heal it. For the next 3 years, every service, I danced. I danced and danced and danced. Finally, I went back to the doctor, and guess what? It started shrinking. It started going smaller. He said, these tumors do not get smaller, they get bigger. He said, are you taking anything for it? And I said, yes. And he said, what are you taking? And I said, I'm taking doses of the ghost. And I dance, and it's getting smaller. And he said, the next time you come back to my office, bring me a bologna sandwich from Waldo. And I said, okay, I will. Our city is famous for bologna sandwiches. And he knew it. So I danced. I listened to the prophetic word. I danced. I ministered to myself and ministered to the Lord, and it actually shrunk. Today I have no problems. Amen. How about Kevin and Dorothy Ranahan, a husband and wife team? They were the leaders in the first Catholic charismatic movement that started here in the United States. I don't know if you know it, but there was a big move of charismatic in the Catholics. Those people could worship the Lord. Judy and I was in the first Lutheran charismatic renewal conference in Minneapolis. 22,000 Lutherans come together, and they knew how to worship. I'm not kidding, the worship would go for hours, and they would worship in tongues for hours, and it would come through like billows, come through in waves, and they would worship the Lord, and they would have great, great ministry time. One of the Lutheran main leaders of it got up, and he said, there's three things we will never give up: our doctrine, our wives, and our beer. And so we went on worshiping. Hallelujah. So I don't think they did give up any of those. But anyway, we went on worshiping. But these Ranahans were the first husband and wife team that introduced the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the Catholic renewal. And it grew into the thousands and thousands worldwide. I'd give you one more. You know, most of these are women that are building these ministries. Two of them had husbands that helped. But most of it's women building the ministries. When we first went into Africa, we got ready to prophesy and minister to them. The man would stand here, and the wife would stand back here. And I said, is this a cultural thing, or is this a religious thing, or what is it? It's just a cultural thing. And I said, well, listen, if you don't mind, how about if you get the ladies to stand with you? And if you don't mind, husbands, hold their hand. So they come up and they start holding hands. Now you go back. The women are up here and the men are right here. The women learn how to help the men run the church, and the churches are doing very, very good. They took their rightful place in the kingdom, and the women are doing wonderful ministry. There's one other lady, Amy Simple McPherson. She built a 5,300-seat auditorium debt-free in the middle of the Depression. We call them gritty women. They got some grit about them. And they know how to do things, how to release miracles, how to get it done. Why did women follow Jesus? The disciples held back, but the women were right there. The women, it's because, if you ever heard my wife teach out of Genesis 3, it's because there's a hatred between man, between woman and the devil. There's a hatred there that God put in the woman that hates the devil. And so women are really, if they're not careful, can really be obnoxious in a sanctified way. Hallelujah. Amen. I've seen my wife point her finger at people saying, I'm not having that spirit in this place. And they just step back and sit down. Hallelujah. I've seen a few things. And I've learned when that finger comes up, you want to pay attention, all right? Amen. We come home from a long trip. We were both tired. And somehow we got into a verbal disagreement. And it just kept getting hotter and hotter and hotter. Until finally we just wasn't talking to each other. We were just going through the house grumbling and griping. And our kids called up and said, hey, we're glad you're home. We're coming down for supper tonight. What you got? And that's the last thing I wanted to see was our children. And we were just having fun, having a fight, you know, a verbal. So Judy cooked a wonderful meal. Children are, you know, our kids, our daughter's been married 25 years, and they're still our kids. So we're sitting there eating. They're laughing, and we're eating quietly. Judy gets up to go to the kitchen, and I said, sweetheart, would you please get the hot sauce out of the refrigerator? She turned around and looked at me, and she said, who glued your butt to the chair? Well, that was the end of that. My son-in-law looked at me and he said, you're not going to let her talk to you that way. Say something back to her, really, really mean. Say something. And he was trying to egg it on. And Judy and I got laughing. That was the end of our squabbling right there. We weren't laughing any longer. But women had the strength about them to stay with Jesus. They did not leave him. And I want you to go with me to the book of John in the 20th chapter. And I want you to look at women. Women have the spiritual fortitude, the hatred of enemy, that they will stand in the fray and they will stand and fight for the Lord. Amen? Amen? And I'm proud to know that I stand with a group of women that have that tenacity in them. Amen. Chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, which is John, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb, so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter when they came, and he came to the tomb first. Now, stooping down, looking into the tomb, now this is Peter and John, they saw the linen clothes lying there, and they did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that hid around his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciples, who came to the tomb first, John, went in also and saw and believed. For he had yet not known that the scripture must be risen again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their houses. Now, here's Mary. I want you to catch this. Mary stooped down and looked in, and immediately stooped down by the tomb weeping and saw, weeping, and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels. The boy's just been in there. They just went in, looked all around, saw the linen clothing, left. But when she looked in, she saw two angels in white, sitting on the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus laid. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" They started talking to Mary. "Why are you weeping?" Wouldn't you like to have a conversation with an angel? They just revealed themselves to Mary, but not to the two main disciples that followed Jesus. It was a woman. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be a gardener, said to him, "Sir, they've carried away my Lord. Tell me where they have laid him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she immediately knew who he was. Now, there's something about women that have a built-in special sightseeing ability that men don't always have. And it's not intuition. It is God-given anointing to women to see situations, to stand in the battle on situations, to stand in faith when men get wishy. Listen, for a long time we had no women on our elder board. And we could be politically correct, spin things, and never get anything done. But you put our wives on there with us, and they just cut through the chase and say, what are you doing this for when it's not producing money?" Or, you know, they just cut through the chase. And we found that adding women to our elder board brought the level of the anointing up probably 80%. Amen? Women have the ability to see things, to say things, do things that men just try to be politically correct and just kind of spin things. I don't know why these two did not see the angels. Judy and I was in the jungles of Belize, and we were with a man that had set up a tent, and we were there ministering. And she was preaching that night, and about halfway into her preaching, there appeared two men in white clothing standing at the end of the tent. And they stood there all the time she ministered. And then she said, Jim's going to come up, going to pray for you for the baptism, for healings and so forth. They stayed right there until the last person was ministered to. And when that last person spoke in tongues and was ministered to, we turned. And the whole congregation was watching these two guys. I don't know if they're guys, gals, I don't know what they were angels. Standing at the end of our tent. And when the ministry was done, they were gone. There's no roads there. You can't drive in, you can't drive out. You have to walk in, walk out. There's no paths where they were standing, right in the edge of the jungle. And when they was done, they were gone. We always have felt like we had two visiting angels watching over the material, over the ministry to these people. Now, when you look into this tomb, and they saw the linen clothes lying there, and they had a handkerchief that had been around his head, not laying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. The best we know of Jewish custom is when we eat in a home, that when you're done eating, they give you a wash basin, and they give you a cloth to dry your hands and dry your face. And when you're done with it, if you like the meal that's been served to you, you lay that napkin right down on your plate. That's saying, I will be back for second helping anytime. I'll be back. We found this in Africa. You don't clean your plate or they'll fill it again. So you always leave a little on your plate. So in Hebrew, they would lay it right on their plate, saying, I like it here. I'll be back. But when they laid it off to the side, that was saying to the person of the home, I do not like what you serve me. I don't care for it. I will not be back here again. Now, these Hebrew boys ran in, looked around, saw everything, never dawned on them. But Mary peeked in, saw two angels, saw the clothing, and even had the strength in her spirit to say and talk to the angels. And when she saw the linen laying off to the side, she knew Messiah Jesus wasn't coming back this way again. Amen? So she knew somewhere he was resurrected, but she didn't know where until she stepped out and he called her by name. Then she ran and told the disciples. Amen? Revealed himself first time after the resurrection to a sister who then told the disciples that the Lord had been risen from the dead. Listen, I want to tell you, if you're a lady and you have a dream of ministry, you have a dream of building something, you have a dream, don't let anybody talk you out of it just because you're a sister. Do it. Build it. Make it. It may take you 3 or 4 times to do it, but keep doing it. Amen? Amen. Keep doing it. I don't want to talk about our kids, our grandkids, too much. But they all have dreams, and we reinforce them. Make your dreams come true. What you dream, step out to do it. Be possessors of what God has given you. Let the desires of your heart be that motivates you. We were in our home church where Ron was at, had missionaries in there from CI, and they were encouraging people. And he said, who wants to go to nations? I got up and went. And my wife said, I'm going with you. And so we went together. And then later on, Bishop Hammond And different ones started prophesying to us about nations. Go to nations. Do this. Do that. I'm not real hep on missionaries, but I know there's fivefold ministries in those missionaries. And they're there doing a great work, building people, building Bible schools, doing a great work. And in that, I believe that you're going to see more and more, just as you see today, women. You go in the Caribbean islands, you go into some of these islands, it's women. Church is full of women. The men are out drinking rum. The women are holding things together. The women are praying for their husbands, their grandkids, their children. They're holding things together. And I think, good for you. I'll do everything I can to support you. And we see churches growing under the leadership of women. Amen. Bishop says, I ordain women, and I put my stamp on them, my seal on them, and I will do all I can to support them to fulfill the call of God that's in your life. I know when we first got ordained with CI, there was no apostle women. And we were all prophets. And Judy said, I know I am not a prophet. Inside, she said, I know I can prophesy, but I'm not a prophet. And she wrestled with that thing for about 15 years. And finally, one day in a meeting, Bishop Hammond stood us up and he said, you know, he said, this woman is an apostle. And he said, her husband is a prophet. I want to say it again. She's an apostle. He's a prophet. Now leave them alone and let them function. Today, there's a lot of lady apostles. Some are sitting right here in our meeting. A lot of women apostles. They can prophesy, but they're much better at organization and building, and they see it working in their life. Amen? So let me say this. How many women do we have in here that's got a dream? All right? Allow those dreams to become reality. Here's women. Clear back in the 1900s, 1800s, Mary Booty was used to lay hands on I don't know how many people in England, merry old England. Ivy Campbell come back to Ohio, started the whole Pentecostal movement. I have a book that we read quite frequently. It's called Children of Azusa. The children that were raised in Azusa. And it's said that they would come out because they met in an old barn warehouse. And they'd set up crates, put 2x4s across it to set on. And the children would fall asleep. And they would lay them underneath the benches. And they would say when Seymour would show up, and he's kind of an unusual man, he put a box over his head and sat on the front row bench. Put a box over his head so he couldn't see people. And he would sit there and pray in tongues until he felt the presence of God. And he'd take the box off his head and start to minister. When he'd start to minister, the Shekinah cloud would come in the building and fill the whole building. And these little kids would lay under the benches and try to pull the cloud under the bench. But all these children grew up to do miracles. All of these children are still doing miracles today. The one lady that's in the book, she averaged 6 miracles a week, major miracles for 25 years. She's outgrowth of Azusa. The one miracle, a lady came in one day with a bloody cloth on her side of her head. She said, what'd you do? And she said, I got in a fight with a woman. I come home and this woman was in bed with my husband and we got in a fight and she ripped my ear off. And she came in, had a bloody rag on her ear. And sister said, let me pray for you. And she took the rag off, said there was just nothing but a meaty hole. She laid her hand on her, started to pray for her, and she felt something in the palm of her hand. When she took it back, an ear grew right out and reappeared on the side of this woman. She saw that kind of miracles every day for almost 20 years. She was one of the kids that laid in the cloud. See, women, and some of these women never get recorded unless somebody writes about it, talks about it, tells about it. Some of these women are tremendous faith healers and have started great ministries of healing, and we never hear about it. And they're still, most of them have passed away. Of course, we're 100 some years later. Have passed away, but their legacy lives on. Amen? I love to read about Seymour. He was a black man, one eye, when he had one eye. And in those days, very, very restricted. Blacks couldn't be on the street after six. Very restricted. And it said when he would start to minister, for two blocks from Azusa in every direction, all the traffic would stop. That's horses. All the horses would stop. They would not cross into that area where the cloud was. The horses would stop and stand there, and they could not drive them into it. So the guys would get off to see why the horses wouldn't. They'd fall over in the street, get slain in the spirit, get saved. What a miracle. If you read about these miracles, we think, oh, Lord, let it happen again. Let that Shekinah ministry happen to us again. Let it show up and let it touch people. Let the glory of God touch us like never before. How would you like to bring your sick relationship to church and they get healed and saved and go out a different person? Amen? That was Azusa. Fred and Wilma Barry are now pastors of Azusa. Fred is a big guy about your size. And he says, Abba Dabba Doo, glory to God to all of you. Come on in, you know. And he's quite a comical guy, but he ministers all over the world. Fred and Wilma Barry, hallelujah. And you might see him at CI sometime. He's ordained with us. Amen. All right. Sisters, I want you to stand. If you've got a dream, if you've got a ministry you're dreaming about, I don't apologize for crying. Everybody knows that's what I do. Hallelujah. CI calls me their weeping prophet. And if one of them get crying, they'll say, oh, I've been hanging around Jim too long. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's contagious, hallelujah. Judy said, it's embarrassing when my husband cries more than me, hallelujah. No, she doesn't. She's a good girl. 56 and one half years. She's still my heartthrob, amen. All right, ladies, I want to release, if you have desires, and I believe they're godly desires. The Bible says God gives you the desires of your heart. And if they're godly desires, it's His will to fulfill them. So sisters, I pray for you tonight that there be a release of the hand of the Lord upon you like never before, that your dreams will be fulfilled. Your vision of what you want to build in the future will come to reality. Lord, I bless them. I cause your grace to be upon them. Allow your anointing to flourish in their life, that they'll be all that you've called them to be. Father, I thank you for every one of them, that there's a heart desire in them to be a God pleaser, to be one that builds your kingdom. I bless them this night. I bless them in Jesus' name, that they'll be all that you've called them to be. Be full of faith to step out, to step into the fray, and to step in and take over and do what you're calling them to do. In Jesus' name, I bless them. Amen. 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 I'm closing. We were down in Belize and ministered to a little girl. She didn't look like she was about 16 or 17, but she worked in the treasury department of the capital of Belize. And I prophesied to her and I said, God's going to promote you into a place to where you will have the say over the monies of this nation. And she found that the head treasurer was embezzling money, and she went to the prime minister, told him what was going on. They arrested the man and they moved this little girl right into his position, and she now become the leader over all the money of Belize. And she didn't look like she was just a teenager, but she became the leader over all the money in that country. The prime minister, we ministered to him, and he had a bodyguard by the name of Flowers. And the bodyguard stood right over top of us with an automatic weapon, and he'd click it every once in a while, and he stood right behind us while we ministered to the prime minister. And I thought, if we make a bad word here, we may get the effects of this. But we prophesied to him. We said, when men try to kill you, I will intervene and protect you. Well, they were coming back from Belize City down to Belmopan, and they were driving a Cherokee chief. And Mr. Flowers was sitting in the back seat with his automatic weapon beside the prime minister. And a front wheel come off of this chief, and they rolled that thing two or three times and totaled it. And the prime minister got out. There was not a scratch on him. None of his delegates were with him, or none of them were hurt. Mr. Flowers wasn't hurt. But we did hear that Mr. Flowers gave his heart to the Lord and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And became a Holy Ghost bodyguard. Hallelujah. And the prime minister called all of the delegates of all of the different regions together. They got down on their faces on the ground in Belmopan, laid their hands on the ground, and recommitted Belize country to God. Amen. It's amazing how one little car wreck will turn your life completely around. And he now, I don't know where he's at. That's been several years ago. But we're seeing this through the islands, through the Caribbean islands. A lot of them are turning to God. And there's quite a revival going on from southern tip of Trinidad, clear up to the north in St. Thomas, St. Croix, some of those islands. There's quite a revival going on. And the sisters are leading the way. Amen?
Amen.
So, Lord bless you. You're going to have prophetic teams ministering. You say Luke's leading it? No. Oh, teasing him. That's what my grandson would say too. No. Okay. And but before we do, this sister right here in the striped, you got two or three children sitting around you. Yeah, you. Yep. What is your name?